You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to visit with more LCMS international workers today. I'm excited because we get to go to Asia and Europe as well. We get to cover multiple parts of the globe today, which is exciting. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul by visiting csp.edu. Joining us today, two deaconesses in studio. I've outnumbered
you're very outnumbered.
Deaconesses and a deaconess student
intern.
In studio. Intern, that's right. Intern.
Wow. Yeah.
Not just a student, but an intern.
You're quite outnumbered
Sarah's
today.
Sarah's an official deaconess intern. Joining us in studio, Deaconess Sandra Rain. She is the serves the Lord in Asia as sacred music educator, and I know you have some new responsibilities. We're going to talk about that today as well. And Deaconess Kim Biltonen, serving the Lord in Leipzig and Chemnitz in Germany. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, good to be here.
You're both on Reconnect visiting here at the LCMS International Center, so we had some time in September to sit down and talk. We get to share this with our listeners in October. Let's see, Oktoberfest is probably winding down for many listeners. I don't know, when is Oktoberfest in Germany?
Yeah, it's September? Towards the end of September. It ends like the first weekend of October.
So it's like only like not even a week in October for Oktoberfest.
Right, yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's over by the time you get to hear this.
Yeah.
So Deaconess Ryan, last time we talked, I think we were talking about Christmas hymns.
I think
so.
That's
it's been
right.
a while.
It's been a while, yeah.
And it maybe wasn't last Christmas.
I don't know. I think it was like 2 years ago.
Was it?
Yeah.
I have no sense of time. So
I could be wrong, but it's been a while.
So what are some of the projects that you've been working on? What is the focus of your work these days?
Well, we have talked about the Indonesian hymnal, and I'm very pleased to say that that has been dedicated now. That was last November. However, we did just what I call a limited edition of it because there were still plenty of editing and correcting of tiny mistakes that needed to be done. So we printed 200 copies. We handed them out to all the pastors and said, you've got this number of months, 4 months, I think, to read through this carefully and send all your corrections our way. And when I say our way, I say Pastor Matthew Wood, who is in Indonesia, and Matthew and I work very closely together. He knows the language. I know the music software. He literally flew to the Philippines to meet me there when I was going there to teach deaconesses, which I'll get to in a bit, so that he and I could sit side by side and go through the whole book one page at a time and put these corrections in, make sure we got them right. So, Indonesian Hymnal Project is winding down. There'll be some introductory workshops, so I'll still go there some. But that's kind of winding down. Chinese hymnal, it continues on at sort of a slow, steady pace. So not much more to report on that. Would you like me to tell you about my other work?
Yes.
So a couple of years ago, my director said, we get so many requests for deaconess training. Would you be willing to sort of divide your time and spend some part of your time doing some deaconess training? And of course, I have to say yes to that because I'm a deaconess and
right.
I love the whole deaconess field. So it was decided that we would start in the Philippines. There were three reasons for that. One is they already have a lot of deaconesses there, like maybe 100.
Wow.
Number two, those deaconesses have not had nearly the opportunity to have theological training. So that needs to be rectified. And number three, there is a seminary already in place. We always like to work through a seminary. And in that seminary, they require the teaching to be done in English.
Hey.
So perfect. So now I am not starting new women. The deaconesses that they already have need to have more theological training. So I go twice a year and do a one-week intensive on a topic. Pastor Paul Nelson, who is a theological educator in our area, is my supervisor for deaconess studies. So he comes along always. I think that's awesome because in all of the things that I do, I want to model concretely that I'm always working under the authority of a pastor. So I bring the pastor along. He leads the church service. And sometimes in theological questions, I'll say, yeah, let's ask pastor what he thinks about that.
That's really cool that you're able to do that with deaconess training in the Philippines. What do deaconesses
do in the Philippines? Is it a similar role to what we may or may not be familiar with in the United States, but a similar role to what we have in the LCMS?
Similar. I would say that maybe more deaconesses there are pastors' wives even than what we have here. They see the work, they know they've got the heart for it because it's in the home, and so they started doing the work, and then they're called called a deaconess, mm-hmm. even if they didn't have a certificate. It's never a degree program. I'm working with women who maybe have a high school diploma. Mm-hmm. And one other difference is that these deaconesses have had music training, and they consider the music to be a big part of deaconess ministry. And so if there's a choir in their church, it's probably the deaconess that's leading it.
That's
which
so
fits me perfectly. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, now I know what to do.
Of course it's you.
How did that coincidence happen?
That's amazing.
I say that because we don't believe in coincidences.
No.
Right?
So how are deaconesses perceived? How does the church understand deaconesses and perceived? We were talking before we came on the air, like wearing your deaconess insignia, mm-hmm. your garb or the uniform.
The garb. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not necessarily universal. That's more the LCMS deaconesses.
Right,
deaconesses
right.
have the blue or navy with the insignia. How are deaconesses perceived and how are they recognized in their circles?
Yeah, in the Philippines, they don't have any uniform. And that's funny that you bring that up because that's not something they have brought up with me yet. I had that conversation with deaconesses in Tanzania and they wanted a uniform. And so I told them, you're at liberty to do that. You choose what you want to do. So in the Philippines, they are definitely treated with respect in the church, but there's not a call. It is more volunteer, a little bit of pay, but it is much closer to a volunteer position. But they don't have any qualms about having deaconesses, and it's considered very normal.
That's cool. So what have you been able to teach the women in the Philippines?
What have I taught them?
Yeah, I've seen some of your posts on Facebook about what you've been doing.
Yes.
It looks really fun.
The first class I taught was Role of Women. And what is included in that is why we wouldn't go along with women's ordination. That's mm-hmm. not an issue in the Philippines, but it's always a question about that. And so Role of Women and Order of Creation, mm-hmm. that was a big thing. I'm always teaching catechism with everything that I do because they need that. We all need that, but that's definitely a need. And then I always teach hymns. Fun fact, they use TLH in the Philippine Lutheran Church. So if you look in the pew, you can see this particular hymnal came from some congregation in Minnesota, and that one came from some congregation in Arizona, because people, if they donate TLHs, they sometimes make their way to the Philippines.
That's so interesting.
But they use a small slice of the hymnal. So I work hard to get them acquainted with this hymnal that they actually have. Why don't we sing some of the things that are in this hymnal that you have? It's the same as with many churches where they've got this, but then they're singing little ditties that aren't very helpful.
And you're based out of the United States, but travel to Asia and other regions throughout the year, correct?
Yes, that's correct. It's unique among missionaries that I'm still based in the U.S., but I spend an awful lot of time in the air. And I'm, yes, Asia, but I did work in Africa before, and I did help in Latin America with their hymnal. So I kind of get to go all over the place. It's a great job. I go wherever they're saying, could you help us be Lutheran? Sure.
Yes.
You're probably doing a lot of work online too, especially with the hymnal projects,
I'm sure,
working on various hymnals.
Right. So when I'm back home, I'm at my computer all the time.
How many languages have you been working in over the last how many years have you been serving as sacred music educator?
I did it as a consultant and then as an actual called missionary 5 years, but then another 7 years before that.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I've done hymnals in Swahili for Kenya and Amharic for Ethiopia. We're working on Chinese for Taiwan and mainland China. Just finished Indonesian. Have started on a Tamil hymnal for Sri Lanka.
Nice.
Then I helped with the Spanish hymnal. I guess those are the languages.
Just a few,
yes. And I don't do any of the actual translating.
Well, thank you very much for sharing this update with us. And how can we stay informed on the Lord's work where you're serving and the projects you're involved in?
I write newsletters about every other month, and am happy to share them with anyone. They can find me at the LCMS website, mm-hmm. and get connected to my newsletter. That's probably the best way.
Very good. We'll share that link in the program notes today as well.
Good. Thank you.
We're going to check in with Deaconess Kim Biltman in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Who am I? How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're talking with LCMS International Workers today, checking in with two deaconesses serving in different parts of the world. I started to say different parts of the country, different parts of the world, in different countries around the world. Checking in now with Deaconess Kim Biltman, serving the Lord in Germany, particularly in Leipzig and Chemnitz, right?
That is correct.
Anywhere else you travel these days? I mean, you're in the United States right now while we're chatting.
Correct, yes. And of course, we had our regional missionary meeting in Bulgaria earlier this summer.
Yeah.
So. Wow.
Yeah.
So it's been a while since we've chatted. What have you been up to? What have you been working on?
So kind of jumping off of what we just heard from Sandra, I do also do a little bit of work with hymns and Farsi. But I do, opposite of what she was saying, I actually do some translation for hymns and with the help of my Persian teacher, who is not a Christian, but is a musician and a poet. She's been helping me sharpen those skills and get better at that. She always helps if there's some need of, you know, making it better. And so that's been really, really cool to grow in that with her help. A couple of other new projects since we last talked, a couple new Bible studies in our church. One English Bible study, which I never really thought we'd use English in our ministry, but we discovered that there were some people in the neighborhood interested in speaking English. So we thought, why don't we start an English Bible study and kind of see what happens? So we've got a small group, but three new church members through that Bible study, which is really, really exciting. And then the other Bible study was one I've been dreaming of starting for a while and just needed to really just build up the confidence in my Farsi language skills. And that is a Persian women's Bible study.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's just gotten off the ground this summer. So it's really new. But the women are really excited about it, and they always bring yummy food too for us to and our next step is going to be finding a time that works where the German women of the congregation can also join us at least once a month for some additional fellowship between the two groups, the two parts of our congregation. So yeah,
that's really cool. So are you like mostly fluent in Farsi?
I mean, I still do not think that I'm fluent.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. But definitely growing every day, and yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about the community, because you have German-speaking, Farsi-speaking. Tell us about the community where you're able to do all of this teaching.
Yeah, so our church and our outreach center are located in the neighborhood called Volkmarsdorf in Leipzig. Diverse neighborhood in terms of we've got a lot of people from a lot of different countries, a lot of refugees, mostly from a Muslim background, as well as a lot of Germans who have various struggles with substance abuse and poverty and all kinds of stuff. So it's a challenging place to serve. We never quite know what to expect on a day-to-day basis who might wander in to our church or our outreach center, but we're there for them and try to support the people in our community, help with their needs and whatever those might be, and share God's love and the gospel with them.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So you've been learning the language. You've been working on Farsi for some time now.
Sure.
It sounds like you don't consider yourself totally fluent yet, but are you feeling more confident in
for
conversations
sure. Yeah.
And translation?
Definitely.
Things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have started the women's Bible study if I didn't feel confident.
Yeah.
That was my. So actually, if you want to know what pushed me over the edge, and saying like, okay, I just have to do it and just get over my fear. We actually had a doctoral student come and shadow us for a couple months. And that's kind of a long story. I won't get into that. But she wanted to do interviews with the refugees and she needed a translator. And I was it. And I was scared out of my mind to do that. And I prayed a lot before every interview. And it went so much better than I expected. I think I got to get to just do this Bible study because, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool. She was happy that her being there too gave me that confidence. So that was cool.
So the Bible study is now meeting.
Right now we meet every other week to start off. So, but when I get back from home service, I want to try to move them to every week. Because it's still a lot of work for me to prepare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
So I want to kind of have some things lined up that I, you know, am ready to say if they're, you know, there's not a lot of discussion. But I don't actually need it because they are eager to discuss. I mean, they...
What are their questions? What are they asking?
I mean, well... depends on the text, I guess, you know, they want to, but right. they say, you know, like, this is the first time we've really been able to do this, to just read the scripture mm-hmm. together with other women and be able to talk about it and discuss, you know, so I mean, I usually ask them a lot of the questions and, you know, what do you think about this or what do you think this means? And then we talk about that and mm-hmm. yeah, so yeah. It's kind of cool. Yeah.
Are these women who are already Christian?
They are. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The ones that have been coming are all baptized Christians. And honestly, I've been, you know, because as you grow in the language and you start to learn more and you start to understand more and having this opportunity where they're able to speak to the scriptures with each other, hearing them express their faith through their reactions to the scriptures has been extremely encouraging to me to be like, okay, this is like really awesome that
yeah.
their faith is deep and real. And like, it's, I mean, it's a witness to me. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. That's got to be just really great.
It is.
To see the Holy Spirit working like
it's,
that.
It's amazing.
In these women. Yeah.
And add to that, yummy food.
Oh, and food, right. Okay, right. So what kinds of, thank you for reminding me of the food. Andy like would not would forget about the food. It's the only thing he's been thinking about. What kind of food do they bring you?
I mean, so it depends, but one yummy Persian dish is called kashke barimjun, which is like a aubergine eggplant dish, kind of a, I don't even know how to describe it. The flavors and kashke is kind of similar to yogurt in its like, but it's not creamy. I don't even know how to, it's really hard to explain.
I mean, just by the name it sounds like it would be good.
It's really good. Or they'll make a soup a lot of times like with lentils or something like that, or there's another kind of like salad, it's called like olievo, I think, and it's got chicken and peas and creamy stuff in there and potatoes. It's like, it's kind of like a really good chicken potato salad or something. So it's at church potlucks, it's always the first thing that is gone.
I can only imagine a potluck in Germany.
Yeah, that's
Persian
always
food.
Interesting too. So we've been doing every other month when we have a combined language service, having a potluck after so the Germans and the Persians can get together. And that's been really cool too, because I had this German lady trying all the Persian food and wondering, what's going on? Like, what is this and what is this? And we had a lot of the Persian women at the table, so I was able to kind of translate between them and explain things to her. And one of the Persian women made a comment about the bread that we were eating that she didn't like it, and it was Arabic bread. And so the German woman was like, oh, what? She doesn't like her own country's bread? And I was like, oh, no. Like, these are Persian women.
Right.
Like, they're not Arabic. And she had no clue. So I was like, okay, we got to invite you and the other German women to come to our Bible study so we can have more of this kind of interaction and build up the community and encourage one another. But yeah. Yep. So the potlucks are super fun and the food is amazing.
Yes.
And you mentioned a service, bilingual service.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So most Sundays we have a German service and then afterward we'll have like a coffee hour with both groups and then we'll do a service in Farsi or Persian. And then once a month we do a mixed language service. So that's been part of my drive to translate more hymns too, so that we have songs that are singable in both languages.
How's that working out?
It's actually really cool.
It's gotta be challenging.
Because in the early days, when we had a combined service, there would be a lot of Persian-only songs, and that's okay, but none of the Germans would sing, and they'd kind of listen, and it wasn't familiar, and they didn't know what they were doing. And so now I can actually have a service that's where the songs are singable in both languages. And so we've started where you just sing in whatever language you want, which is interesting. Like, the first time we tried it, I thought, is this the best? I mean, someone had suggested it. I'm like, well, let's try it. But I like it. It's weird, but it's fun. I mean, it's kind of this, you know, garbly sound, yeah. But the melody's there.
Yeah.
And it's just the words you're kind of like, eh. But you know, then everyone can sing in their heart language or whatever language they want to and can get the most out of it. And yeah, so I think it works. And it's not only German hymns. I mean, I've taken some that are in German from the English hymnals, and also some of the Persian songs have been translated into German. So it's still a mix of culture and language. And yeah. So
I'm really feeling the need to take a trip and experience this because...
There you go. I'm going to be leading a tour.
Right.
Lutheran ladies, you can come with us. That's and we're going to visit true. Her congregation, and the women are going to cook for us after church.
That's true. Okay, plug that for just a second. Because when is that? Is that happening next?
Next May.
Next May,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, Frauen auf Reisen. Lutheran women on a journey.
Uh-huh.
Find me on Facebook and I can tell you about it. Thank
That's
you for that.
True. I have seen those posts. That looks that looks really fun.
You gotta come.
I know. How is the Lord providing for all of the things that are going on in Germany? Because you've got a lot happening, a lot of culture stuff happening, mm-hmm. and all sorts of things.
Yeah. I mean, God is good and faithful and just helping us to manage and get through and giving us the courage to go forward and proclaim the gospel. Yeah, I mean, we are short a missionary right now, but we're getting a deaconess intern in a few months, which is super exciting.
That's true.
So, yeah. So I'm looking forward to having her there. And also, I think, you know, through that English Bible study, I mentioned those three new members, and they are super helpful, and they've been getting more involved in helping and volunteering with things at church. And so, yeah, he's finding
only
ways
by
to,
the grace of God, right?
Absolutely.
Because
yeah.
there is always too much to do.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thanks be to God for that. Such great news. With just about a minute left, anything coming up in the season when you get back and settled into Germany, what are you looking forward to in the coming months?
Well, when we get back, Christmas, and of course, the Christmas markets in Germany. And
they're kind of special.
They are very special. Yeah.
Oh, I can smell it now.
And then, you know, all the worship services surrounding Christmas. It's a lot, but it's wonderful. I love Christmas in Germany. And also singing Bach's Christmas Oratorio with my choir at our church. So it's always really special. And yeah, and then in January, getting back to the Persian Women's Bible Study and continuing to grow that and see where God takes us.
How can we stay informed and continue to learn about the Lord's work in Germany, particularly
sure.
what's happening in Leipzig and Chemnitz?
Well, I've also got a website connected to the LCMS page where you can sign up for my newsletter. You can follow me on Facebook, Deaconess in Deutschland. And yeah, those are probably the best ways.
Very good. We'll share that link to the LCMS.org site for you as well. Deaconess Kim Biltman, serving the Lord in Germany, in Leipzig and Chemnitz. Thanks so much for being our guest.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And Deaconess Sandra Ryan, serving the Lord in Asia, sacred music educator. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
You are welcome.
You can learn more about serving internationally by visiting servenow.lcms.org. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.